Hello, my name is Jeb, and welcome to my Philosophy Corner. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Littman.
Hello, my name is Littman.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Littman.
Well, right now I'm a third year doctoral student, like you, also in the University of Tartu here in Estonia. I'm from Hong Kong, and what else should I say?
Whatever you feel. Okay, so you're a PhD student, you're from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Like, real quick, like, what is it that you're getting into with your work as a PhD student?
Well, broadly speaking, my research is about language.
Okay.
So, very nerdy analytic philosophy kind of stuff.
The worst.
Yes, the best, okay. I would say.
That sounds biased, but we'll go. All right, so Littman, you know, I think it was a few weeks ago that I said I would like to sit down with you and talk about something, right? We feel like we've got some things in common here, and you mentioned that you would want to talk about video games and philosophy and how the two can kind of coexist at the same time, and I thought it was super interesting. It got me thinking about the way in which I play video games, the way that I have, like, seen certain things when I play video games, but also just about, like, what video games have meant to me growing up, right? Yeah. So why is it that what motivated you to say that?
For one thing, I do think there is a lot philosophy going on, so to speak, in video games. And two, maybe, you know, when you were young, you spend too much time on video games, and your parents will, yell at you all the time, and hey, this is useless. This is useless, you're wasting your time.
Sure.
But then, if there is real philosophy in video games, then it's, I'm not wasting my time, I'm actually learning something, and I do think I learned a lot, or maybe I benefit a lot from playing video games.
But you didn't start off playing video games when you were younger, like, oh, let's learn some philosophy, right? What is it that made you want to play games when you were younger?
When I was younger, well, my childhood was quite lonely, so school wasn't fun, and I didn't read. I just don't read. Then naturally, I didn't do sports back then.
So video games was something.
Yeah, I think I got introduced to the world of games when it was a Game Boy. If you know what Game Boy.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, so we pretty much started there, and then you get, you know, PlayStation,
sure.
And all the TV video
Game
games.
Boy is the gateway drug to video games.
So, I pretty much started there.
I think even I think Game Boy was the first for me as well. Like, I would play, like, Pokemon, right? Like, that was most people's first thing.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I don't know, like, Pokemon never really stuck as, like, the thing that I loved, you know?
Yeah.
But once I started getting into it, then I wanted more. And for me, perhaps a little bit similar to you, like, video games for me when I was younger was a form of escapism, almost. Like, for me, growing up, you know, I did live a rather privileged life, but I would move locations every 2 years because of my parents' job. And so, as a young child, when there isn't this sense of stability of your environment, you seek stability. And for me, video games became this, like, stability for me, right?
For me, it wasn't that deep, the motivation.
No, that's fine.
I guess it was like Game Boy was the thing that everybody had.
Sure.
In the time.
You want to be a cool kid?
Not really. That, it's more like just, you know, other people have it. Mm-hmm. I want to have it too.
Sure.
And also, it was not cheap.
Mm.
It was not cheap. I remember very vividly, it was 500 Hong Kong dollars.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
To get one. And I was really sad when my dad said, no, I'm not going to buy you one because it's too expensive.
You didn't steal any?
No.
Not
didn't
that
even,
fast.
Didn't even see one to steal. You know? It was that rare.
Okay.
But then I think I was pretty depressed for a few days, and then eventually my dad like softened up, and then finally got me one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about you mentioned this thing about philosophy in video games, and again, like I said, it got me thinking about video games that I've played, and I've actually like looked up people's like maybe video essays on like something that they've like captured in a game. And there was one game that really stuck out to me, and that was like Dark Souls. Did you ever play Dark Souls?
No,
don't bother. It's a really hard game. Like, it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But that's actually the point. Like, the philosophical underlying tone of what that game is that it's a game that you are going to fail. You are going to die, and you're going to have to do it again. Yeah. Not only that, but every time you die in that game, you get weaker. So the next attempt you do is even more difficult.
Oh.
And so for me, and actually some people that, again, I've seen talk about this, like Dark Souls is almost like this video game embodiment of like depression, where like you feel bad because you went so far into this attempt and you failed and you have to go back to the beginning again, weaker, and try again and again and again. And each time you feel less and less confident that you're gonna make it to the end. But the second that you pass this point in the game, the second that you kill the boss and you get to finally like save point and like revitalize yourself, is like this feeling of releasement that like you've made it. You're better than what you thought you were. So for me, that's what I thought about with like this idea of philosophy, where we can reflect some of these ideas that we encounter in our lives within a game and like, yeah, make it part of the game. Right.
Yeah. Well, I didn't play Dark Souls, but I do know what it is. You know, it pops up in those YouTube video suggestions. But I do want to challenge you when you say it's like, you know, having difficulty, and when you fail, you get weaker over time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, surprise, surprise, for all gamers like me, this is hardly news.
Well, sure, like that's the idea.
News, right?
But like literally, like your health bar in the game decreases every time you die.
Oh,
like
right.
It's hardwired into the
I
game.
See.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
See. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Then I get the fun. But also, it's, I guess, like partly what makes it like extremely or particularly interesting now in 2021 is a new game. Yeah. Is that it's so different from other games right now, right?
Sure.
Because, well, I don't know who invented this concept, pay to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, this will be a very sharp contrast, because pay to win means every time you're playing, it's not a very high stake.
Right.
Thing.
As long as you got enough money, you'll
yeah,
win.
You have
yeah.
enough money, you can, maybe you can try again, you can make yourself stronger, getting some.
If you have more money than the other person, you're gonna win.
Oh yeah,
it's capitalism embodied.
It really is
right
a capitalism.
Yeah, yeah.
But
definitely.
back then, it's more like the arcade station. Let's
say. Okay, yeah.
That was
kind of pay to win too, right? How many quarters do you have? You can beat the game.
Yeah, so that's an element in it.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of about the game design, design as well.
Well, didn't they design a lot of those games so you would die, so you would spend more money?
Yeah, but then that's not how most people play, right?
Sure.
And you don't get pride or respect when you, I don't know, just align, I don't know, 100 coins in front of the arcade, and then I will keep putting the coins in, and then I can keep playing.
Yeah.
You will get to the end, you might get some fun, but nobody will respect you that way. You see? And who gets the most respect? The skillful one.
The one who puts one quarter in
and
beats the whole
game.
And
then beat the whole
game.
So that's one thing. And then there was some kind of culture. I don't know if it's in the same in other parts of the world, but in Hong Kong, I guess it's the same in Asian culture as well. You're not allowed to just sit there and then keep playing, even if you have all the coins and money.
If you lose, you move.
You lose, you have to move. Other people will follow.
Wow.
So
kind of the same. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a thing that people do. You know, this is the monitor of the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
While you're playing, somebody will watch you from your behind, and if somebody from there they want to play, they want to be the next one or playing.
Mm-hmm.
They will put a coin in
the
corner
to save
of
their place.
So when you die, you have to move away.
Mm-hmm.
you have to move away. Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
So
okay.
There is an element in pay to win, but it's more like that's how they make money.
So like that's the that's actually something interesting where like there's what the developer created as their intended purpose, and then there's the actual way in which people engage with it, and that can be completely different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's also very interesting in almost a philosophical sense too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we'll come back to that real quick, but tell me, like, what's your favorite game or your favorite kind of game that you like to play?
Favorite? Well, it kind of depends. I mean, the ones that give me the most joy, I didn't spend that much time on it. I mean, some games are like really fun. You wanna play a little bit just, you know, because the concept is fun.
Sure.
The one I can quote is this Pepsi Man. I'm not sure you know
Pepsi
it.
Man.
Pepsi Man. So it's a superhero.
Okay.
Called Pepsi Man.
Like the soda.
Yeah, the soda Pepsi.
Okay.
His greatest rivalry. Guess who?
Coca-Cola. He's the villain. Okay.
Yeah. But the game is just fun to watch.
Sure.
Play. So I highly suggest everybody to
check out. What is it, like a fighting game? Or?
It's not a fighting game. It's like there's a. It's not a game. You are Pepsi Man, and Pepsi Man will just keep running,
keep running.
He has only one goal, which is to reach the, I don't know, the Pepsi, Coca-Cola machine.
Okay.
To buy Pepsis, to save people.
Okay.
That's how you save the world.
Is it like a platforming game where you gotta like jump and dodge?
Yeah.
And,
then there are lots of like barricades
sure.
coming in. You need to, I don't know, jump, you need to dodge all of them.
So your favorite video game in the whole world is Pepsi Man.
This is the most fun.
Okay, the most
this
fun.
This is the most
okay.
fun. But the favorite in terms of like I spend a lot of time on it. That kind of like really like long-term kind of pleasure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting games.
Yeah, okay, you
fighting
mentioned
games.
That.
In particular, when I was young, I played a lot of King of Fighters.
Okay, I've seen that
Kings
one
of Fighters or King of Fighters, yeah, I don't know. In Cantonese, we don't have plural, so I don't know.
That's like one where, I mean, most fighting games, it's all about combos, but if I remember that game correctly, like, if you don't do combos, you're going to lose,
yes.
right? Like, it's
yes.
essential that you learn the combos.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So when I was young, I pretty much spent most of my time playing this. Right now, I still play a bit, but not King of Fighters now because it kind of sucks after the 1998, I guess.
Okay.
Now I'm playing Street Fighters. Street Fighters 5.
So what's something philosophical that somebody can take away from playing fighting games like that?
Well, while playing, I didn't think about it.
Sure.
It's more like, you know, philosophy.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah, reflections like came after.
Sure.
It's like, you know, what's this thing that like keeps me kind of encapsulated in this game?
Mm.
It's not a fun thing.
Mm.
I mean, you need to practice your combos and train.
So you don't play
reactions.
It for fun.
Well, it
isn't that the whole point, right?
Yeah, I would still say it's fun, but it's a very different kinds of
it's
fun.
Like a mastery, like a satisfaction that you were able to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mastery. So it's like Dark Souls. I mean, it the
yeah, nobody has fun playing Dark Souls, okay?
Yeah, but when you achieve, when you know that you can overcome your past self.
Mm.
That's great, when you
can
moment.
See that you're literally like
yeah.
better than you were before.
Yeah. So there's this element in it in fighting games, but then there's another element would be, you know, it's just fun to beat people up. You know.
do you like to do shit talking on those games?
No.
Isn't that the point of street like fighting games? You're like,
I'm gonna beat you, dude.
Come on.
Yeah, but while fighting, I'm the quiet one.
Oh sure, you gotta focus.
Yeah.
But like afterwards, do you like glow? Do you be like, yeah, man, you suck?
I didn't do it that much though.
That's like part of the fun though, right? You can like shit talk.
Yeah, I think I would do that in the game other than talking. You know, there are many ways you can show disrespect to your opponent.
Oh yeah, you can like taunt when you're fighting.
Yeah. Or you're close to like one light punch away to finish it, but you don't do it.
You just tease him.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And that, if you, well, what's the point of trash talking? You want to produce some kind of psychological damage, right? That's where you produce the most psychological damage.
I could beat you if I won, but I'm withholding.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I see, all right.
Yeah.
So for me, the game I think I sunk the most time into that got me thinking when we were talking about doing this was like World of Warcraft. I know you've heard of this game, right? It's one of the most popular games ever. Yeah. And something actually very interesting in a philosophical sense, I think, happened recently where, you know, this game it came out in, I think, 2001.
Yeah.
And like every few years it would come out with a new expansion, right? A new edition. And the world would grow and it would become more complex and just different. And now the game has been around for 20 years and the game is completely different from what it is
before. Online one.
The online one, exactly. So like the game is completely different now, but something happened where they realized people were dissatisfied with the current state. So they said, you know what? We're going to re-release the original version of the game and everyone can play that like first beginning again. Where everyone, like, at that time, nobody knew what they were doing. It was like a complete mystery. Even the people creating the game, they didn't know what was happening. It was just like this chaotic, beautiful mess of things happening. And now it's just become so organized and mainstream where, it's just not as fun in that regard. But this re-release was very interesting where, you know, people were so excited. So many people signed up to play again where they first began, you know, back when they were teenagers, especially for myself.
Yeah.
And we came back into the game knowing exactly what was going to happen. We knew exactly what role we were playing. We knew exactly what was coming for us. So what happened was we weren't playing the game in this mysterious exploring way. No. We were playing the game in like this optimized min-max fashion. Yeah. So before, you know, you have these things called raids where you and like 39 other people get together to try and beat the boss. And back then, everyone sucked and it was horrible, but also at the same time, it was fun. When you beat the boss, it was an achievement. You figured something out. You won. But now, those bosses are like a joke. People can beat them no problem.
Yeah.
So now the challenge wasn't can we beat it, it's how fast can we beat it.
Yeah.
So the game shifted from like this open-ended way of like trying to just have fun to let's just see how quickly we can get this stuff done.
Yeah.
And so it's like this this min-max culture that I think is also pervasive in general society and like businesses, they operate on this like optimized nature. How much output can we get from not too much input?
Yeah.
And so now the game in this min-max sense, it's completely destroyed it. Like people are so dissatisfied with going into this game and realizing that the entire culture has shifted into like this one specific way of playing the game that is it's just not as fun. What's something that you would tell people for video games, like, you know, for the people listening right now? Like what is something that you could tell them that you have gained from video games, philosophically, but also just in general? Like for me, I'm gonna interrupt you real quick. You know, one thing that I've always really enjoyed about video games is it's kind of like a movie or a TV show, but like you get to take an active role in how the story or how the things happen, right? Now, I usually like RPG games where I get to choose what is happening, right? I enjoy that creation of my own narrative. That's not the same for fighting games, of course.
Yeah.
But like, what's something that you could tell people?
I do have my preference about like what's good games, what's bad. But I guess if you enjoyed it, that's it's pretty thing to say. But if you enjoy to play the game, that's pretty much the most important thing, right? Otherwise, I don't know why you even begin. Play the game.
You should enjoy what you do,
but I do I do think that maybe it's, at different ages you enjoy different kinds of games. And people now, it seems that they only enjoy the, from the old gamer perspective, the easy ones. That, can I say that?
Don't gatekeep.
Yeah, it's like once you are defeated or you fail to pass some stages, then they will stop.
Yeah.
To play.
They don't take up the challenge that it's presenting.
Yeah, and I know I'm a kind of an oddball in this field, because I remember, like, do you know this Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
So me and my friend Bongo, are you listening? We like playing, you know, multiple players, and then we can, you know, cooperate to kill a monster. But we have very different goals going on a mission to kill a monster.
Yeah.
His goal is just to kill the monster and get the items as quick as possible. So that would fit into like one narrative of
why he plays the game.
But for me, I just like challenging myself. So while Bongo will put on all his best equipment, I will take off all of my best equipment.
You're just like, alright, let's do this naked, you know?
I do have a Hamlet on.
Okay.
It's important.
Safety first, yes. Right? Yeah.
Other things don't matter.
Do you also use a weapon, or do you just like punch the monster to death?
Weapon is still essential, because you don't want to spend 6 hours to...
Well, some people do, man.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos of some people who beat games in the same sense, like naked, and they just like punch the enemy to death.
Yeah,
and it like it's like 12 hours long. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's a bit extreme.
That's intense, man. Like, good on them.
But when I play with him, the thing I enjoy the most is I very skillfully time the attack of the monster and then dodge it.
Yeah.
Or counter attack, that kind of thing. I get the most fun when I manage to pull that off.
Yeah.
But that's not what he thinks.
For him, he's just
But this is like really high risk kind of thing you do.
Yeah.
And it's not even rewarding.
It's rewarding for you.
Rewarding for me. Well, not rewarding to get past the stage.
Killing
the monster. But I do get... I was happy when I did that. Bongo wasn't happy. Because I just, you know... Because
you were taking up his time, you know.
Taking up time, and I kept dying. And we failed the missions.
I think you would like Dark Souls then. If this is what you like, you should play Dark Souls.
But then I polished my skills well. That's the thing I... like doing. I don't care that much if I get the best equipment or I pass stages, get fancy wear stuff. No, those are chances. But I do feel happy when I, you know, if you go to YouTube, there are always some these kind of extremely skillful people. And I, every time when I can pull these similar things, not the same thing, similar things off. And then I feel like, oh, I'm getting kind of close to being a master. What they do. That's fun for me.
Okay, so like that's in a general sense. Like, you want people to understand that about that. Now, what is something that you could say to other gamers that you would want to say?
To other gamers who play different games?
Just in general. Like for me, right? I'll answer this question first. If I had to say one thing to gamers, it's... you know, let people enjoy the game however they want to play it, right? Like, most people say, like, no, you need to play in this way, you need to do it this way, and it's like, you know what, like, if they're getting pleasure out of a challenge that they make for themselves, let them do that, like, chill out, you know?
Or just don't play with them.
Basically, you know, Bongo can just, you know, go kill monsters on his own.
That's what actually what he did.
He was tired of you dying.
I do get another friend who is as crazy as I am. But I guess, I don't know. I would suggest people to try some old games, or just games that are very different. I get the feeling that, well, I myself is, my the games I play is as narrow as my research in philosophy.
Okay.
But I do, how to say, I did try different games and try to appreciate the games as well. I especially want to encourage people to play fighting games. Because
you're not getting me, man. I don't like those. I can't.
You don't play fighting
games? I've played them before, and like I look at the combos, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm just going to button mash and I'll
win. Okay, I get that. Yeah, that's the thing about fighting games, you know. The entry bar is high.
Yeah.
It's high. Unless you get another Smash Bros. And Smash Ribbon.
Well, Smash Brothers isn't made for like a competitive scene. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you don't even need to like match up with like a master.
Yeah.
Just somebody who has some basic knowledge about fighting games. Mm. And if you're smashing keyboards, you're doomed. So it's...
I disagree, but okay.
Come fight me.
I'll beat you with my button mashing. Yeah. All right.
But the beauty or the difficulty of these fighting games, the entry bar is high.
Mm.
So it's only those who are willing to spend the time or who are willing to suffer can get the joy that comes after.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
That sounds like pretty good. Nice sentence I made.
I'm very happy for you for doing that.
Yeah, but I would argue that the joy you can get later is cool.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Cool. And if you like, you know, bullying your friends, that's a very good platform to bully your friends as well.
I do that too, yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, because it's a very, how to say, it's a very plain and simplistic setting in the sense that it's just, most games, one-on-one situation. You and your opponent, your enemy, and usually well-designed fighting games, they are pretty balanced, meaning that you can't really just blame, hey, you get a better character than my character, of course you win.
Yeah.
So you can't make excuses like that.
Yeah.
So when you lose, it's pretty much just...
on you.
You suck.
You suck,
that's it.
Get better.
You can't really blame chance or in some scenarios you can, but it's still part of the strategy.
You see, whenever somebody... I'm going to go back to Dark Souls real quick. Whenever somebody complains online that like, oh, this boss is really hard, everybody's response isn't like, no, it's okay. Da, da, da. It's get good.
Yeah,
stop sucking and you'll beat it, right? Like, you just need to be better.
Yeah. And also, I think in most fighting games, if you want to blame the characters, use the same character then.
Yeah.
What are you going to blame now? It's exactly the same.
No, thing. You learned his moves better than I did, yeah. So then, yeah, you suck.
Then you spend some time during.
Yeah.
But again, the entrance bar is high.
Yeah.
But you do get those like, how to say, it's... At those points, you know, if you look at like good players, you know, those almost professional players, how to say, there are two kinds of those professional players, I guess, kind of. One is the kind of creative, spontaneous one. You pretty much can't tell what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, if you know enough
he or
about
she.
He or she.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. In the fighting game community, it's pretty much man-dominated.
Yeah, I mean, I think video games in general tend to be, unfortunately. But it seems that more women are getting into it, which is good.
Yeah, I would hope to see more professional female players.
Like, sometimes I'll watch like professional StarCraft, and, you know, I think... 95% of the players are like the professional players are guys, but then there's like some women that come in and like they're good, you know. It's like obviously there's no gender difference here, it's just that men typically played more, and so the whole base is men. And so if a girl wants to get in, then it gets, you know, kind of sexist and gatekeepy there, unfortunately.
Okay. Like
a lot of women who will play like online video games like World of Warcraft, they will hide the fact that they're women because guys get creepy, you know.
Yeah. Well, that really kind of like that. This is a very interesting topic now, because I would think like maybe some games are more inclusive.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It depends on gender than yeah. Fighting games, I would think is the worst.
Yeah, I mean, if only because of the presentation of characters sometimes, right? Because like guys, they're usually like ripped and strong, and women, you know, that wearing like a bikini or some shit, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's already like kind of reflecting. Yeah, I particularly don't like, you know, Street Fighter, you get this character, Cammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cammy.
Was it like the skin tight suit and
skin
stuff like
that? Skin tight suit, and then, you know, you can choose a different, like, costumes usually, but pretty much all of her costumes are pretty pantsless.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, give her some pants.
Yeah, it's very sexualized. Yeah, it's a problem. And there's like another example going back to like World of Warcraft. You know, you've got armor that you can wear to protect you, and when you're a guy and you wear the armor, you know, it's like a chest plate and whatnot. When it's a woman, it's like this like cut down thing. Like what are you doing? Yeah, like what are you doing? Like that's not actually armor anymore. What are you doing?
I didn't think about these things.
But like it's such a small detail, and yet it reflects like a bigger issue, right? Like,
yeah, and this, and also in, I don't know, fighting in general is pretty man or pretty, how to say,
masculine in
masculine
nature. Yeah.
Stuff anyway. And also in, I guess in fighting games, it's this thing. I mean, it does. I don't know if you get this kind of like a psychological thing when you're playing against other human player.
Yeah.
When you play against human player, that's
stress.
Yeah, that kind of stress, high stress. I don't know, high stake level. You're constantly plotting something, or you're plotting if somebody is plotting something.
Yeah.
Why is he retreating? Is there some kind of trick? I don't know. That's, you know, this kind of thing might not fit well. Or it might be like guys are kind of encouraged to be, I don't know, to brave ones, that kind of thing, yeah?
To endure this like uncertainty about what's being presented.
Yeah. And when you're kind of, when you chicken out, then you need to man up, that kind of like discourse, narrative.
Bringing in some toxic masculinity now.
Yeah. I do think that there is probably a lot in fighting games. Especially in the arcade stage.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Sure. But, you know, I remember this now, like, I think we should start winding down here, but this idea of, like, fighting a human player, I'll play, like, StarCraft, you know, like a strategy game, basically, chess. And when I'm playing against the computer, I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll beat them no problem. It's okay. Yeah. When I go against a human, the second the game starts, I'm like, I gotta get in this. Like, I am so stressed. Like, my brain, like, completely changes the way it works. And then I fail because, like, I'm so stressed and I'm overthinking. So it is like this weird thing of like, it literally looks like the same as if a computer is playing, but the fact that I know it's a human completely changes the way that I play the game, you know?
Yeah. And also is, well, now we play games online pretty much all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you know it's a human player, but you're not seeing him or her. But in the older days, well, PlayStation, let's say, you're like kind of physically sitting next to the friend you're playing. Or in arcade station, even more extreme, literally sitting next to you.
Yeah, right there.
Well, that physical space can make all the differences.
It did,
You know, that's a, you know, a lot. Yeah, it's just a very high stress situation.
Yeah, it can be fun, but it can also be like, oh.
It can be. Yeah, I mean, unless you're in it somehow, it's not easy to just get in. I think, the games itself require very, you know, the entrance bar is high. You need to know quite a lot to be decent or average. And then there's this like fighting human players, that kind of stress. And, trash talking could be a thing too when you're physically close. Yeah.
That's part of the game, man.
Yeah, and then, you know, trying to like talk your opponents down, trying to,
you want to make them angry because then they'll make a mistake.
So he's not, is it fun? Maybe, but definitely not the mainstream
sure.
kind of like relax.
Pleasure. We don't want to relax. I'm going to have fun when I tear it from my enemy's hands, you know?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for talking with me. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, and glad to be here.
Yeah, man, it was a good talk. Yeah. And everyone, thanks for listening. Let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you next time.
I do think we should play some games together.
Again, if you want to lose, man, I'm all about it.
Well,
we can cooperate too, but I'm going to be selfish.
Yeah, talk to my supervisor if I can have more time to play video games.
You gotta talk to him about that. All right. Let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.